Guys, Footy Focus podcast episode 14. We are recording on Wednesday, 27 July, and joined by my co-host Shahan, fresh off a, what did you guys end up winning by, 100 points on the weekend?
Hey, Shanika, yes, I think it was a first 100 point win for Masala, not the Kangaroos, obviously. but yeah, you were down there, a few friends were down there to help celebrate. That was great.
It's a good special guest there too.
well, it's normally Nick Dacos that comes by, but it wasn't him this time around.
Sean's his name. So we'll move on to the talking points. And I guess the big one this week is the AFL, I guess, for once admitting they've made a mistake with that, with the, first of all, the Ginnivan free kick where Redmond got him high, and then they've made, I guess, a slight adjustment to the rule where the, I guess, probably favours the tackler more now rather than the person getting tackled.
Yeah, I think early on in the year they brought this rule in, but it wasn't really adjudicated correctly, I don't think. So they just sort of reminded everyone and sort of, yeah, put it to the forefront of everyone's mind that this rule exists, where, like, if the possession winner or whoever has the ball looks for contact, high contact, then yeah, they need to either get rid of it or it's going to be a ball up or free kick against, even if they do get them high. So with the Ginnivan and Redmond incident, I think it was a high, yeah, so he didn't really lower his body too much. Like, I know he's not a tall player, but yeah, Redmond just had to tackle him lower. I think Ginnivan does stay low, but I don't think he like lowered himself as much as he has done in the past.
Yeah. I think the thing with Ginnivan is, like, he's got form. So if it was, 95% of the players in the comp, he gets that free. And I guess the sticking point, and same thing with the Essendon fans last season, I think Waitman got 4 free kicks in the final and he kicked 4 goals from it. Like, Ginnivan, 90% of his free kicks are, 30, 40 metres directly in front of goal, and he always kicks them. So his free kicks pretty much end up being goals. So I think that's the issue, but it's good they acknowledge that. And I think the trick for Ginnivan is just to see if he's got, other strings in his bow, because, his form suffered a bit the last probably four weeks now.
Yeah, I think he only had 5 possessions and he didn't kick a goal on the weekend. So, but it's a bit like, the boy who cried wolf, right? Like, if he has form, like you were saying, and then it happens again, the umpires are less likely to pay him the free. So it happened to Lindsay Thomas a bit during the latter parts of his career, where he sort of looked for those high frees and got them early on, and then they stopped paying it, even if it was there. So I think it's the overcorrection that had to happen, but hopefully it encourages more players in the AFL level and sort of junior level to not look for high kicks, because it's a bad part of the game. I think if it's high, you got to pay it, but you don't want players looking to get frees, because I don't think that's what AFL footy is about.
Yeah, great point about the young kids too, and setting a good example for them. So we'll move on to the game reviews, and North played Hawthorn in Tassie, and you did flag Jack Gunston. Whether him playing would make a difference, and it probably did in the end, didn't it?
Yeah, him playing and Nick Larkey not playing was, but I forgot to change my tip. So I got it wrong. But yeah, good on Jack Gunston coming back after like a difficult few weeks and kicking 5 goals, and he kicked a few behinds as well. So no, it was a disappointing loss, especially after that good win against Richmond the week before to break out losing streak. First quarter, I think it was all over in the first quarter after they kicked 8 goals to 0. We had a few chances, but I think a few misses. Zerha, Goldie, they just didn't have enough polish, and just a bit unlucky. Free kicks, the umpires were a little bit, the rubber, the green went the Hawks' way. But sometimes it's really hard to back up a good performance for a young team. So seems like that's what happened here.
So where do you think the game was lost in the end?
I think, like most of our games, we tend to play a defensive half game where we just struggled to get the ball forward. So the inside 50s were 38 for us and 68 for the Hawks. So, yeah, so essentially there, contested possession-wise and clearances. They smashed us in center clearances, but other than that, it was pretty even around the ground. So I think it's a bit of system game plan that let us down. The effort was there again, I thought. I think we beat them in tackles, 58 tackles. And when we did get a forward, we were scoring at 60%. So the issue is, yeah, just playing the game more in our forward. So I hope the next coach that comes in can implement a game plan to make that possible. So we'll move on maybe to some more interesting discussions from my point of view anyway, rather than another 40-plus point loss. Yeah, the priority pick is back on the agenda. Apparently, we didn't deserve one after we beat Richmond last week, but now I think we deserve one because we lost to another bottom 16.
So what,
at the moment, yeah.
So what do you think the pick or picks should be? Where should they land?
Well, I would hope it's sort of a pick two, really. But if it's not, which I don't, I reckon it's still unlikely we'll get pick two. But if it's not, hopefully a mid first round. But then that needs to be coupled with an end of first round as well. So maybe pick 10 and 20 might make sense. And then we can look to trade in a mature age player or bundle that up. Ideally, I'd like to keep picking young, talented kids. Just to like keep building, because yeah, we want to play the long game here, right? So don't want to waste sort of pick 10 on sort of a 26, 27 year old who only has 5 or 6 years in the system. I thought of another idea. Instead of getting a priority pick, could the AFL bring back trading 17 year old players like they did when I think it was when GWS came into the system, where guys like Hogan, Martin, O'Meara and Brad Crouch were traded to other teams for picks?
Yes, left field suggestion. I haven't heard it before, but...
I mean, you know the concept though, right?
Yeah, I don't mind. I mean, yeah, like you said before, you want to get young kids into your club. You don't want to get, yeah, mature ages.
This is where the AFL gives the Kangaroos, say, any 17-year-old, so players are eligible for next year's draft. Like, for example, Zane Dersma. He's touted to be, like, a top 10 pick next year. So we're allowed to trade Zane Dersma to any other club. Yeah. But if you want him, you need to give us picks. So it's not... See, other clubs don't get pushed back a spot. You're just compromising the next year's draft by taking out a couple of elite players. Yeah. So if Port wants Dersma, the new Zane Dersma, then you can offer us your first round pick this year to have him join your club like now, but not play until 2024.
Yeah, we've got Xavier and his sister in the W team, so it might be an offer. So would you want that, I guess, done next year as well and not just end this year's draft? You want a package over a couple of years, yeah?
Depends how many 17-year-olds we get access to. So if we get two, then we could get two. I like looking at the past, like Hogan, Martin, O'Meara, they all went for like pick one, pick two, like top five picks essentially. So I don't think Zane's at that top five level apparently, but they'll say there are a couple of kids. So I know Gold Coast might offer their pick five and another second rounder for, I think Harley Reid is like a potential gun. So I don't mind the concept. I think clubs would be a bit wary doing the deal though, because those four players that have moved, they've all moved clubs and they're like not superstars. They're like, I think Brad Crouch is probably the best and he's like a star. Wouldn't call him a superstar. The other ones are sort of like journeymen, like Hogan, right? So that's probably the only risk, but not much risk for the Kangaroos if we do get that option.
And mature ages, are there any players the Roos should look at?
I'd like to hold on to our draft capital. So only ones I'd be looking at are free agents. Otherwise, yeah, wouldn't sort of go for players in their prime if it's going to cost us like good draft picks. I think ideally I'd like the mature players like Travis Burke, Steel Sidebottom, Luke Bruce, those sort of guys in there.
Heppel. So I think he's got, I think he's only got a 1 year offer on the table. So would you mind him as like as leadership as well? Like he's been captain for a few years now.
Yeah, potentially. I wouldn't rule him out. I still reckon he's got a few more years of good footy to offer. I know he doesn't, he's not at that Travis Burke or Gunston sort of level in terms of on-field success or anything like that. But he seems like a nice guy. And if he can offer something, I'd consider it. I think he's only like 30 or 30, not that old anyway. Not as old as like Travis Burke. But in terms of fringe players, maybe it's someone like Darcy Gardner, it's a third tall defender from Brisbane. Jaden Hunt is a running defender. And yeah, Jackson Nelson. I think he's a bit of a whipping boy, apparently. But he's a free agent. And Harry Himmelberg would be another good one who's moved to defense this year. So the role around that 26, 27, 28 year old mark and played about 100 games. So
yeah,
if any one of those might be ideal, especially Himmelberg.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, you get like a Hodge type at the club next season because, yeah, I think that'll only help, improve the development of the players, especially with, you know, Cunnington coming back hopefully next year fully fit and with no health issues as well, touch wood. But, yeah, you've still got Goldstein and Zeebel there and, you've got a few players that can lead the charge.
Yeah, so it's just finding a couple of, 26, 27-year-olds to complement the youth and be that bridge between, when Gold and Zeebel eventually retire to Juan Francis and Phillips coming through. So interesting off-season ahead.
Got my game review. So Port Adelaide 94 divided by Geelong 106. So probably the story of our season. Like we showed glimpses of our ceiling as a team with an 8-goal-to-1 third quarter, probably the best quarter against the Cats this season, and a 41-point turnaround from half time. But the last quarter, just 1 goal conceded for every time the Cats went forward, pretty much looked like they were going to score. Just couldn't put four quarters together, and that's the reason why we're not going to play finals this season.
And that's where the game was lost.
The fourth quarter the back end of the second quarter, I think we can see the last 5 goals, including back-to-back D50 turnovers from Houston and Burton, who are normally pretty reliable, and the Burton one on the siren, was a backbreaker. I think Smith kicked one from outside 50 to end the half. And Stanley as well, so he had 8 first-half clearances, still a game high, and he got subbed off later on. But, best on ground the first half by a mile.
Okay, so what drove the comeback? Was it some players standing up?
Yeah, I think first thing was Stanley getting subbed out with injury. He had a shoulder injury. I think he's out for a few weeks now. So then Dixon and Pulisic dominated after that. 27 contested, 6 contested marks and 17 scoring moments between the two of them. We only ended up minus 2 in clearances in the end. So it was a good comeback there. And Dixon's third quarter was just a superstar quarter. 11 touches, 7 contested possessions, 2 goals on De Koning, who's really hasn't been beaten in one-on-one contests until then. And a great goal assist to Robbie Gay. So the pressure as well is probably the best pressure quarter we've had all season. Ended up with plus 15 tackles and plus 18 one percenters.
Who else stood up?
So Sam Powell Pepper continued his career. He had 2 goals and always presents at the ball and just, hard nut. Aim on 22 kicks, 13 marks, only Port goal on the fourth and second most meter gained. And George Yardy's probably had his best game of the season, 2-3 goals, including another mark of the year contender. And Rosie was quieter, but he still had his 20 and 7 tackles. So it's good to see him still putting defensive pressure when he's not getting goals and goal assists and score involvements.
Yeah. Are you moving your phone a bit?
Yeah, it's the charger. I'm just trying to get some.
Oh. It's causing some noise. So just keep it as still as possible.
Yeah. I'll stay still.
All right, mate. All right, can we just have a bit of silence just so I know where the cut is at? Okay, and who impressed for the Cats?
Atkins, so I don't think he's underrated anymore. He's getting his plaudits now. 3 Brownlow votes, got the 10 coaches votes, and best on ground the fourth quarter when the game was on the line. Hawkins kicked the last 2 goals of the game, and Close is really super with his pressure, and he's just really clean every time he touches the ball. And he's one of those players that's cemented his spot in the best 22.
Yeah, I think it's not going to take a genius to work it out, but yeah, I think Geelong should be favourites for the flag right now. I know Collingwood's also 1-9 straight, but Geelong just have a lot of depth and a lot of strings to their bow now with Cameron there. Guys like Close and Atkins, you mentioned, and also like De Koning and who's the other one? Max Holmes.
Max Holmes, yeah. And even like Dangerfield, I think at 12 touches, like Hawkins didn't really do too much. Like Cameron only kicked the 3, but just they're really even across the board. Mitch Duncan's probably having an All-Australian type 6-7 weeks off half back. So, yeah, they're just deep, like you said, across every line, really.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll see if anyone can challenge them because at the moment, yeah, they're looking really powerful.
Move on to the game previews, and North Melbourne is hosting Essendon at Marvel this week.
Yeah, it should be an interesting game. Both teams coming off a loss. Obviously, that heartbreaking loss for Essendon. They shouldn't have lost that game after the siren. Amazing kick by Elliott, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Langford miss spoil doesn't get talked about as much because you're looking like at a fresh swing, and I think one of the wingers pushed up as well, and that gave the Collingwood Bianco all that room on the wing too. So there's a lot of breakdowns in defence as well. But yeah, it's
even crunch. Before that, even before like Shield just booted it into defence, but there was 2 Collingwood players for that Jones free kick. So Essendon, they've beaten us the last 7 times, so generally they seem to get up. A few years ago, I think Tip and Woody kicked a last-minute sealer, and Stringer normally has good games against us. So we're going to be up against it, I think, especially under the deck, where I think Essendon are pretty dangerous when they get on the run. Now, there was no VFL for the Roos last week, so had a bye. And they also caught COVID. A couple of them caught COVID on the way back. Yeah, so Lee Adams, I think they should be fine. They'll be out of their 7-day isolation, I think. But yeah, guys, I think guys like Coleman Jones, Perez is suspended. Paul Curtis, Aaron Hall, and someone else potentially go out. Yeah, Cunnington is going to play some VFL footy, which is good news. And right. So is Comben. So I think Redmond might miss. He got subbed out of the game. Arch Perkins might come back in, I think. He's a talented youngster. For us, I think Larky and potentially Hayden might come back in. And Goda and Dawson also sort of looking for a debut. So you'd think there'll be at least 3 or 4 changes potentially. Matchup wise, yeah, I think we've got a lockdown on Peter Wright. I think he's their main avenue to go. Stringer is a bit hit and miss, but if we can lock down on Wright, we'll go a long way. So we've got Mackay, Nicole, and maybe Dawson to man up on Wright, Phillips, and Jones.
Did Mackay go straight to Wright, yeah?
I think so, yeah. I don't want Bonner playing on the third tall. I'd rather Cole playing on the third tall and bring in Dawson or even Josh Walker again. Because Bonner went to Gunston and couldn't handle him. So I think Bond is more suited to that medium forward. Maybe Langford could possibly get him. And yeah, Dylan Shield is the other one, so we might need to man up on him because he's been okay lately, except for that kick. And the other end, yeah, I think Zerk Thatcher might get lucky and Ridley might rest on, might play on the resting Ruckland. So if Jones goes out, I'm not too sure who can play that second forward. Maybe Walker has to come back in. Because you'll probably need a second tall. Who do you think, would you tag Merritt over Shield?
Yeah, I'd tag Merritt. I think he's just more damaging by foot. Shield's more, dasher.
Yeah, so maybe Scott, he's playing pretty well. You can go into him. Young's playing pretty good footy for us as well. So he might get a run with Brawl on another player. Maybe like a Hine or someone. But yeah, the ruck battle will be important. So Goldie hopefully can negate Frepo, who's been pretty good lately. Both teams, they play their best footy when they go through the corridor and attack. So I'd look to block up that corridor, make them play wide, and then when we get the chance, bring it in through the corridor. So, yeah, I think we need another big game from Mackay and just look forward to the midfield battle, which, yeah, it's exciting to watch Davies Jr. Playing such good footy. And hopefully, Horn Francis can, have a good game because he showed glimpses again last week, but hasn't put together that form that he showed at the start of the year. So, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I think, definitely the Larky, Zerk Thatcher matchup can be exploited. I think Larky's kicked bags on Wietering and I think Jones last season. So, definitely can stand up then. Yeah, like you said, if Mackay shuts down right, can't see where the Bombers are going to get their kicking winning score from.
Yeah, but overall, I think Essendon, they do have a bit more experience and a bit more form leading in. So, they should get the done hopefully by no more than 30 points. We'll move on to Port Adelaide's game against Collingwood, who you've got a pretty good recent record against.
Yeah, good recent record, but the Pies are coming off nine straight, and I think seven of those have been won by less than two goals. They've won all the close games recently. We are 8 points and 7% out of the eight with four games left, so probably like a 1% chance for finals. I don't think Lysett plays again this season. He's got a shoulder infection and probably not worth bringing him back for, two, three matches. Terms of team change, I think Lockie Jones comes in for McAtee. Dersma gets a chance back. Houston's concussed. And I think Fantasia gets the sub role over Bonner. That just means Dixon and Pulis are going to carry the ruck load again versus Cox and Cameron. Pies of the VFL by. Yep.
Do you like that Finlayson-Dixon combo, or do you prefer to have like a genuine ruck in there, like for long term anyway?
Yeah, I think, definitely that's one of the holes on the list. Like, I think fullback, another elite mid, and number one ruck role. I think Lysett's coming to the end. Hayes, I like Hayes. He just probably needs another strong preseason to develop his tank. Vicentini's playing in the sand. Well, he's a bit too young at the moment, but. I prefer Dixon forward and Finlayson as the second ruck. As saw in the first half on the weekend, Stanley dominated, Darcy's dominated as well. So I think every time we come up against a quality or more than average ruck, we get smashed. So I think, Dixon forward and Finlayson as the backup ruck, and Dixon maybe doing the forward 50 stoppages like Hawkins does. I think that's your best balance. VFL, there was a VFL bye for the Pies, so Grundy, I think, doesn't come back just yet. Key forwards just need to take advantage. So I think, Moore goes to Marshall, Murphy on Georgiades, and maybe Howe on Dixon when he's resting forward, and Quainer on Fantasia. I think Lockie Jones is set the role to tag Nick Dacos. He's just been given too much time and space the last, 17 weeks.
Both Dacos is there. If one doesn't get you, the other one. Cool, huh?
Yeah, Josh having a really underrated season too. I think Amon goes to him on the other wing. And yeah, up forward, Cleary versus Majacek, Alir versus Cameron, and then I think we're a bit too tall. I mean, Jonas probably goes to a medium-sized forward. Burton probably goes to the match winner, Elliot, and maybe Burgoyne versus Ginnivan. We're a bit short at the moment, but I'm tipping us. But, I mean, I expect tipped against the Pies the last 3 weeks, but, yeah, their streak just seems to keep going and going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you guys match up not too bad against them. So, if Aaliyah can have a good game, and I think a lot relies on Aaliyah just chopping off the side 50 balls. And if, like a Wines can get on top with the contested ball, then you're definitely in with a chance. Hard to tip against the Pies at the MCG, though, even though winning 10 games in a row is pretty rare. Still reckon they can do enough to get over the line, maybe by a goal.
And we've got a good draft update this season. Cal Twomey released his Phantom 25, which I'm sure you've checked out. So you've got a couple of players to discuss.
Yeah, it's always exciting when Cal releases his Phantom form guide. I might just mention a couple every week until the draft, maybe. I remember. So they've got one more under 18 NAB, what do you call it? The championship game. The champs, but NAB League is continuing on. So they were back there playing for the Victorian boys. A couple of standouts, Lewis Hayes, whose brother plays for you guys. He's a ruckman for, what's his name? Sam Hayes.
Sam Hayes.
So Lewis is a little bit shorter, I think 197 centimeter backman. Had 30 possessions on the weekend. I think he had some of the kick-out duties, but still pretty high numbers. So he's allegedly, well, I haven't watched some of these players, maybe like clips, but he's pretty good at ground level and he's good at rebounding out of defense, but he can also shut down his direct opponent. So, yeah, skillful centre-half back. There's not many of them in this year's draft, so could go early as sort of the late first round. We all know key defenders are in high demand, so he's definitely one to watch. On the other side of the ground, Aaron Cadman's probably leading all the tools, key position forward tools anyway. So he cemented his top 10 credentials. He's just a sort of Jeremy Cameron style goal kicker. Yeah, left. Can work up the ground, so he's got really high work rate. So apparently he's 196 centimeters now, according to Cal's update. And he gets a lot of the ball, so 24 possessions and 5 goals over the weekend. And the week before, 19 disposals and 3 goals this week. So, a mobile left footer. It's exactly what I think a lot of clubs need, right? To complement. It's you guys like Jordi Ardis and Marshall or us, maybe Larky, and complement those guys. So, I think you'll need a top 10 pick to snatch him. So, we're in the box seat.
Yeah, so with the route, do you think you'd go, if you're getting, just say you're getting 2 first-rounders, midfielder and key forward, is that what, or key defender, what's your sort of?
I think you go best available. I think the top handful are midfielders. But
you don't want 2 of the same, right? You want?
Yeah, probably not. I think we already have a stacked midfield.
Yeah.
I'd go for a midfielder that can play a bit of forward. Unless the pure mid's really good, you'd take him. But yeah, I wouldn't mind pulling the trigger on like an Aaron Cadman if he continues to rise up the charts and becomes more likely a top 5 pick. Then you might have to pull the trigger because we do need some key tool.
Interesting.
What about Paul? What's elite midfielder? There's a lot of mids.
Grab.
It's gonna be harder to grab a ruckman, I think, that early in this draft.
Yeah, I think. I mean, rucks take time. So I mean, Hayes and Vicentini are your rucks, your long term ones. If we don't trade Hayes, fullback, it'd be pretty hard to get an AFL ready fullback. But I think an elite mid that'd be pretty handy, especially with Rosie and Butter's development up there. So,
well, Jai Clark's one that's been rated pretty well. He's apparently like Travis Burke in that doesn't do much wrong with leadership. He's also a Geelong Falcons boy, so potentially there's one there.
Yeah, like to say the draft, and yeah, November's going to come around pretty quick. Go on to the tipping. So you were 8 ahead last week. I made up 2, but you're still 6 ahead. So with 4 rounds left, I think you've got me pretty much covered.
It was an easy week last week, and I think we just went for too many upsets, and none of them got up, even though they were close games.
Yeah, I think that's what happens when you go with too many upsets. You don't tend to get too many. So I've only gone for the 2 this weekend, but we'll move on to round 20. So the round kicks off Friday night, Freo hosting Melbourne at Optus. I've got Melbourne. Don't know why I keep tipping them. Their form just doesn't stack up against the best teams, but I think Luke Jackson might have a big day against his team for next season.
Yeah, that's big news if he decides to go there. It'll be interesting to see what trade gets done. Yeah, I reckon Freo just at home, and they beat them here last time. So I'll back in Longmuir and his boys.
Saturday, Collingwood hosting Port at the D. I've got Port. I think Marshall, Georgiades and Dixon will take advantage of more Murphy and Howe.
Yeah, well, I reckon Collingwood, they're going to lose sooner or later, but yeah, I'm still going to tip them to get up this week. So, yeah, we'll see. If I think Cox, they said he might be ill or something, so I don't know. Maybe they'll have to play Grundy.
So, Sydney hosting GWS at the SCG. I've got the Swans, and I think after Chad Warner, maybe Will Haywood's the next most impressive youngster. Yeah, that'll just be too deep for the Giants.
Yeah, I reckon Sydney as well, Battle of the Bridge. Yeah, we'll see. I think Clark has met with GWS 3 times now, so 3 times more than he's met with the Roos. So hopefully doesn't spell bad news for the Roos. So, yeah, Sydney.
Right, I think Punter's got it all under control. Saints hosting Hawthorn at Marvel. I've got the Saints. They just have too much to play for, a bit like the game against the Eagles, and I can't see them dropping this one against the bottom 4 team.
Yeah. By Punter, you meant Ricky Ponting, not Jaden Stevens.
No. Yes, Ricky Ponting.
All right. Hawthorn. Yeah, they were impressive. Jai Newcomb again. Probably should finish second in the Rising Star. I don't know. This one could go either way, but I reckon St. Kilda will just have enough experience.
Geelong hosting the Bulldogs at GMHBA. So this is my second upset, the Bulldogs. I think Jamara's form coupled with, I think Bruce will just get better week by week, and Bond's probably the form player in the comp at the moment. So, and Geelong have won, I think, 9 straight, so due for a loss.
Well, that's a big upset. I'm not brave enough to tip against Geelong at GMHBA, so I'll tip the Cats. But how good was Jamara's goal? Oh. That's crazy.
Yeah, clutch. I think he's, hopefully that's the start of, a special, special career.
Yeah, it's just really difficult to do, like off a couple of steps with a player like bearing into smother you, 50 out near the boundary. That was crazy.
Clutch goal. And the other game Saturday night, Adelaide hosting Carlton at Adelaide Oval. I think, like with a lot of Carlton's wins, I think McKay and Kerner will just be too big of a 1-2 punch.
Yeah, I reckon this could be a bit of an upset, but I'm not going to tip any upsets this round. So I reckon Carlton, they haven't won at Adelaide Oval, so this would be a historic win.
Sunday, Gold Coast hosting West Coast at Metricon. Same thing with the Saints. Gold Coast just have too much to play for, and Eagles have really been disappointing too. Thought they would have got a couple more wins since all their players came back.
Yeah, they let me down a bit. I suspect they're not trying very hard to win. They're doing a bit of positional changes, apparently. Tim Kelly was a bit disappointing, just 4 touches, I think. Yeah. Tagged it. I reckon Gold Coast. They've also sort of fizzled out a little bit last month or so. So hopefully they can get back on the winners list, and I'll tip them.
Yeah, and West Coast a 3-point 2% ahead of the Roos, and yeah, both on even points. So interesting to see who wins the wooden spoon. Richmond hosting the Lions at the MCG. I've got the Tigers. Lions have a really poor record at the G, and Shane Enwood's 300th game. So first Indigenous player to play 300 for the club, and I think they'll honour him with a win.
Yeah, it's amazing, Evan. He's been a quiet achiever, and only the 8th Aboriginal player to play 300 games after guys like Wanganeng and Adam Goods. That's pretty amazing achievement. And yeah, I reckon they'll get the win for him, surely. It'll be another one of those Tiger wins, a big upset at the G, but yeah, watch for them to cause an upset.
And to close the round, we've got Essendon hosting the Roos at Marvel. I've got the Dons. I think Stringer might have a day out.
He's tended to do that last few times we've played them. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I'd play, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if Core's strong enough, but maybe Bonner would have to go to him. Mm. But it'll be an interesting game. And, yeah, I reckon Essendon by a few goals.
That about wraps us up. And as always, hopefully next week, we are both coming off a couple of wins.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you guys.